Amen. It's great to see you guys. It's great to be here. It's always great coming to a building full of disciples. Yeah, I've had this lesson on my heart. Well, not the total lesson, but the idea of the lesson on my heart, because I've been really aggravated lately. I don't know if you guys have ever been aggravated, but I've been aggravated lately. Okay, so we got some aggravated students, right? We got finals going on right now. That's aggravating. Life can be aggravating, right? Now, I've been really aggravated by the Christian culture of today. You know, today's Christianity is not much more than feel-good preaching. You know, Joel Osteen is like the number one feel-good preacher. He's more of a motivational speaker. But you see lights, you know, just great musical productions. You know, the Holy Spirit is a feeling. Conversion is a feeling. What is right and wrong is a feeling. It has become less and less on God's word and more on feelings. And that aggravates me. You know, we don't want to ruffle any feathers. So if you say you're a Christian, then you are a Christian. It's just, it's terrible. And Paul warned Timothy about this. He said this is going to come in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He says, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Yeah, it's just, it's so true. I mean, obviously this happened in the first century too. Paul was warning them. But it's so true for today's society, today's Christianity, today's churchgoer. You know, it's gotten to the point where if you substitute the word feeling for faith in the Bible, it'll become clear to you what motivates and guides the average Christian today. You know, the point being is most are not following God by faith. Rather, they are following a feeling and calling it faith. This does not require a Bible. If you feel like it's true, then I guess it's true. Chase after that feeling. Be satisfied. Be happy. Be fulfilled. When did feelings have precedence over God's word? If it's around us, if it's in our society, it has the potential to creep in here, and that's why I want to talk about it. The title of my lesson is More Than a Feeling. And a song comes in my head. I'm sure it comes to your head too. But it's more than a feeling. You know, many of us have seen this. It's all around us. And we most likely have friends or family members who do this, who seek a feeling rather than seeking God. And because of that, we can be very reactionary. Meaning, well, that's kind of how I grew up, or that's how my family is, so I'm going to be in the opposite end of the spectrum, and I will show no emotion. I am a statue, I am a soldier, I feel nothing. But we can't do that. We need balance, amen? And this is my tendency, too, to go to the opposite end of the spectrum, like, ah, that drives me crazy. But there's times that it happens. And we may even get upset when we see things that remind us of that kind of lifestyle. Like when people are singing and they're raising their hands. We may get upset on that. Like, why are you doing that? Because we see the religious world, they're doing this the whole time. This is not a bad thing to raise your hands. This is being too reactionary. All right, no hands, no movement. Yeah, it's just that we can't do that. We need to have balance because we need to learn much ourselves. Amen. We don't have everything on straight. We try to, and God will teach us, and we will learn, and we will continue to grow. And we have feelings for a reason. Feelings are not bad. Feelings are not evil. They're not this terrible thing. Oh, I have this affliction of feelings. It's not afflictions. It's not bad. You know, we cannot ignore our feelings. We can't swallow them. We can't fight back the tears like, oh, I won't cry. That's how I grew up. I grew up doing that. I remember praying for months, God, I want to cry. I haven't cried in years. God, I want to cry. Help me cry. I remember the first time I was crying. I started laughing and rejoicing. So I'm like, yes, I'm actually crying. So we can't swallow our feelings. This is an unhealthy thing. We can't stop ourselves from rejoicing or jumping for joy. These are good things. But we don't let our feelings and our emotions control us. Think about the life of Jesus. You know, he was a man who had many followers. And many of those followers were women. He was a very compassionate man. He was very zealous. He was very endearing. He was happy. There's times where we read that he cried. And times where he even had righteous anger, where he made a whip out of cords and flipped over tables. Jesus had emotions. These are okay. You know, me right now, when I preach, you got emotion, got feeling behind it. When Richard preaches, you can feel the conviction. It's like slapping you in the face. It's a great thing. My wife described feelings as this. Feelings are like lights in a cockpit. They're there to let you know if something is going on, whether it's good or bad. So if we need help, or there's a fire, or there's a problem, the lights are there. But the lights do not fly the plane. So I'm not here to talk about how to deal with the feelings. There's many things that we go through. I'm not here to talk about that. Rather, I'm here to talk about flying the plane with some lights going off. Amen? Being faithful to God, making him Lord and not our emotions. Obeying God when our feelings are in discord with God's will. So we're going to look at some examples in the Bible of men who have done this, who have obeyed God rather than their feelings or their emotions. So let's go to Acts chapter 16. Now this is a great example of a very difficult situation and men obeying God rather than their feelings. We're going to start here in verse 19, but to fill you in, Paul, this girl just, she's kept prophesying, she has this demon in her, she keeps prophesying, and it drives Paul crazy, so he just casts the demon out, and this is where we're going to pick up here in verse 19. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and their jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison's doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here!" The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, what an incredible story. And put yourself in their shoes. You know, you're preaching, And people are coming to believe. And this girl is annoying you, this demon and this girl is annoying you, so you cast it out. You're doing God's will. And the whole town is in uproar. They grab you. They bring you before the authorities. A mob strips you and beats you. And then you're severely flogged. Now you're being carefully watched by a guard in an inner cell, most likely sitting on stone with your feet in the stocks. I don't know about you, but I would not be fired up at all. How would you be feeling in this situation? Truthfully, how would you be feeling? Would you be discouraged? Most likely. Would you be frustrated? God, what is happening? I'm preaching. Why would this happen to me? Would you be ready to quit? Like, that's it, I'm done. I'm going back to Jerusalem. No more of this. Would you just want to sleep and run away? I got to get away from all these problems. Would you be mad at God? Would you be happy? Would you be glad? Would you be sad? Would you be mad? What emotions would you be feeling at this time? I know for me, I would just want to go to sleep and pray that this time in my life would go by very quickly. I'd just be like, okay, God, just help me fall asleep. I don't want to deal with this right now. Please, let me have some good dreams. You know, I would just want to escape. But that's not what we see them doing. You know, they were praying and they were singing aloud. And notice at what time this was. It was midnight. I mean, I'm sure getting beat up is pretty exhausting. You know, midnight, they're singing and praying aloud. And how are they able to do this? After being beat, after just a mob gathering them, being flogged and thrown into a prison and their feet are in the stocks, how are they able to sing and pray? The answer is simple. They were close to God and they were obeying him. Because they remembered that Jesus told them to rejoice when they were being persecuted. That they remembered that Jesus said, no one is above their master. And if they rejected him, they will also be rejected. I'm sure these things were going through their head. Jesus warned us about this time. He said this would come and this would happen. Let's rejoice. He told us to rejoice because great is our reward in heaven. And so they're doing this. They're rejoicing. They're singing. They're praying out loud. And all the other people are listening. And something amazing happens. The prison shakes and all the doors open. And they're freed. Their chains are gone off everybody. You know, at this time, I'd be super fired up right now. God has heard my prayers. He has heard me singing. And he has given me freedom. Now I can walk out of here safely and I can continue what I was doing. I would have thought, God has delivered me. This is exactly what he wants me to do. But what did they do? They sat right there. And not only them, but they said, you guys stop. Don't leave your cell. What? And they listened to them. I mean, this is an amazing thing that all these guys listened to him. I think that's because they were listening. They knew these guys were different. And they were just waiting to see what they were going to do. All eyes were on them, and they said, let's just sit and wait. They did not let their emotions get the best of them. They looked for the opportunity that God had them in. They didn't go, all right, God, free me. Let's do it. Let's hit the street. They're like, okay, what's happening right now? Well, they knew that they needed to obey the authorities, so like, we simply can't leave the jail cell. Good grief. They couldn't just leave it because they knew they had to obey the authorities. So they weren't thinking of themselves. They weren't thinking of their own well-being. Rather, they were thinking of others. And look at the result. A man and his whole family are saved. You keep reading the passage, they go and preach to the family and they all get baptized. It's incredible. This is an incredible example of men in very difficult situations with many conflicting feelings, and they still obeyed God. We're going to look at another example. We're going to look at Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The example of these men who are following. It's here in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 12. It says, John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Talking about John the Baptist. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down in the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is another difficult situation. John the Baptist was just killed. That's Jesus' family. That's his blood. That's kin. That's his best friend. That's the guy who prepared the way. That's the guy who baptized him. Just died. And so Jesus hears this. He's like, "I got to get away. We need to go to a solitary place so I can spend time with my Father." And 5,000 plus people catch ear of this, where he's going, and they beat him to it. And so he steps off the boat, you know, having a difficult time. And what does he do? He gives and he heals and he teaches and he preaches. And not only was it just the death of John the Baptist, his disciples recently were just sent out. Now they're tired and hungry. He just went back to his hometown where he preached, and the people rejected him at his hometown. They took offense to his message. And he's trying to get away. He's trying to just spend time with his guys and with God. And 5,000 people, plus women and children, are there. I don't know about you, but I would not be happy. I'd be like, "Let's get back in the boat and let's go." If they beat us there, then hey, we'll come right back. You know, we need time. I need time with my Father. You know, Jesus, this is an incredible difficulty dealing with death and rejection. And he continually gave, healed. And not only, I mean, it wasn't just like, "All right, just bring your sick. All right, I'll help you." But it was till evening. He was teaching and preaching and helping till evening for hours. He was giving of himself. So what about us? What do we have in our life? What feeling trips us up from obeying? What feelings are we seeking more than God? What feeling do you desire more than God? What is it? What feelings do we most always obey, regardless of the outcome? You know, is it your health? You know, okay, I need to get healthy. I need to exercise. I need to change my habits, my eating habits. But that's hard. And I don't feel like doing that. That's kind of difficult. This food that I eat and this kind of lifestyle gives me comfort. I like it. It makes me happy. As a church, I want people to be giving to me. It's time for me to be fed. It's time for me to be given to. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. I've had a hard day, a hard week. I don't feel like going to church. I don't want to. You know, is it parenting? It's the same stuff over and over and over. It's never changing with my kid. It's too hard to work on their character. My kid doesn't want to hear about God. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I don't want them to resent me or despise me. So I'll let them do their own thing. Is it purity? You know, I don't feel like fighting anymore. I've been fighting for years for my purity. I'll never get over this sin. Is that your attitude? I'll never get over this. It will always happen. So I might as well give in. God's going to forgive me anyways, right? Is it your marriage? You know, I keep getting hurt each and every time. We've had these conversations. I'm tired. I just want to relax. This is just the way it's going to be, so I'm going to have to get used to it. Is it money? Well, I give my time to the church. I deserve to spend money on myself. I deserve the fine things in life every once in a while. Or is it, what does the church do with the money? I don't know if I really trust them. I work hard for that. You know, I need to set up myself financially first before I give. I'm nervous. I'm scared about the future, about retirement. You know, for me, it's fear. It's my pride. It keeps me from being open and vulnerable. And the result of that, my heart gets hard and I don't get the help I need. When I obey my feelings over God, it keeps me from getting the help I need. It stunts my growth spiritually. And it hurts my marriage. It affects so many areas of my life, and I need to honor God rather than obeying my feelings. I need to get over fear. Whatever it is for you, what is it? What is this feeling that keeps you from obeying? You know, brothers and sisters, it all comes down to lordship. It all comes down to lordship. Who or what is going to be our Lord? Is it happiness? Is it money? Is it comfort? Or is it Jesus? Who is going to be Lord? And the disciples were put to test by Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 6. They had a very trying time. And they had to figure out who is going to be Lord. John chapter 6, starting in verse 53. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat my flesh, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. You know, this is another difficult situation. You can see many disciples were confused, were not fired up after Jesus' teaching. You know, he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. It is real food and real drink. That is a very confusing thing. If someone stood in front of you and said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. That is a confusing thing. And if they would have just stuck around for a couple more years, it would have been so clear after that. Oh, it makes sense now. But they didn't do that. And look at the contrast between the disciples who left and Peter's response. You know, many of them are just like, all right, this is too hard. You're crazy. We're leaving. And so he turns to the 12 and says, are you guys going to leave also? And look at Peter's response in verse 68. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. I can guarantee you that Peter was confused. As a guarantee. Many things went over the disciples' heads. And they were like, what's happening? So many people are leaving. Why would you say that? What does this even mean? Are you teaching us to eat you? Do you want us to kill you? Jesus, we have no idea what is happening. But he knew who Jesus was. Peter knew that Jesus was the Christ and he was Lord. And Peter said, whom shall we go to? Peter had no back door. He's like, I sold it all. I'm all in. You have everything. I have nowhere to run to. I will give it all up. I'm in it till the end. He gave up everything to seek and to follow the Holy One of God. You see here, Peter trusted Jesus. He had no idea what Jesus was teaching. He was confused and people were leaving. But Peter trusted Jesus. He trusted his words despite him being confused or whatever else he was feeling in this moment. He remembered. He remembered, I'm sure, the transfiguration. Like, oh yeah, I remember. I remember that. I'm sure he remembered the powerful signs and miracles that Jesus was doing. He healed a leper by touching him. I remember that woman, she touched the edge of his cloak and she was healed. These things were running through his head, I'm sure. And he believed. The calling is the same for you and me. Through good times and bad. Regardless of what we feel, Jesus is Lord and we will stick with him to the end. So what is it for you? What is it? What feeling is it? What feeling are you putting above God's word? Are there doubts? Are there fears? Are there concerns? Maybe you've had a bad week, or a bad month, or a bad year, or a bad decade. Is God not still God? He is faithful and disciplines those who he loves. Have you given up everything, or do you have a back door that you can run through when it gets hard? Like, all right, that's difficult. And you run for that back door. Or is there no back door? And when it gets difficult, you have to just come to Jesus and be like, I have nowhere else to go. I have nothing else but you. You know, I can't answer these questions for you. Only you can answer them. Only you know. But you must address these feelings and you must obey God. We cannot ignore our feelings, but we must take them to God. Talk about them, but our feelings cannot be over the Word of God. If God says He loves you, He loves you. That's it. The way that we take things before God is through prayer, through fasting. You can write a letter, study out your Bible, read scriptures, meditate on them, talk with people who can help you. We have to deal with these things. And the reason we deal with our feelings is because negative feelings will fester in you. Like bitterness, it will drive you out of the kingdom. Or anger and needing to forgive, it will keep you out of the kingdom. God does not promise an easy life, and we know this. And in fact, we have signed up to follow a man who was familiar with suffering, who was despised and rejected, who was eventually killed by the people he was trying to save. Job chapter 36, verse 21 says, "Beware of turning to evil, which you seem to prefer to affliction." We cannot turn to sin when we don't feel God. We cannot turn to sin when we don't feel God. Or when we're dealing with something, we must turn to God in those times. Let us remember the words of our Lord, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let us walk faithfully with our God and glorify Him regardless of what we feel. Amen.